Hey friends, welcome back to Faith to Impact and Income. It's your host, Dustin Hill. Happy to have you here. Happy Friday. Hope you're excited for an amazing weekend. And I'm excited to dive in today to the one metric that you need in your business to achieve the growth that you want. And so, you know, I think it's just like I talked about yesterday, it's so important to keep things simple, right? I think that that helps in any area of life, you know, if that's with your faith, right? Maybe you feel like you're not, you know, being close to God. Like, well, okay, what is the one thing that you could do right now so that you can continue to come closer to him, or, you know, in your business, right? That type of thing. So that's what we'll dive into today is how does this relate to your business and how can we do that? If you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, and if you're not, then this can still apply to other aspects of your life. And so what's interesting here is, you know, I am going to share the one metric that I really feel like will make a huge difference. But that being said, there's, to me, it's more about really finding that thing that you can track that is very simple, right? That you don't have like 80 different metrics that you have to track. That if you have one simple metric that you can follow, then that's what you can do. And so I think that that's really powerful. And so, you know, to kind of dive into this, what I was thinking about is back in the day, Amy and I, we were living in Pflugerville, Texas. So Pflugerville is just north of Austin, like right just outside of Austin. So when after college, we moved down there and I was working at General Motors. And so we lived in North Austin, worked in North Austin, and then we decided that an apartment with, you know, two kids, and I think Parker may have been on the way, or yeah, something like that. Then we decided, okay, maybe we should look at renting a house. And so we found, you know, some friends actually down there, part of the church, that they were renting out a house and it was becoming available. And so we were like, cool, that'd be great. So we went over there. So we're in this house, and this was the first time that I remember Amy having this like big epiphany with a business, which I thought was really interesting because, you know, I was always the one coming up with ideas and sometimes like keeping up at night, like talking about these ideas. And she's like, okay, I'm tired, but like there's this, the flip kind of, the script kind of flipped this time. And so she was up at night, like thinking, oh, wow, this is what it is. Like, this is what we could do. And like, whoa, I totally understand like how you feel when you have these crazy ideas and stuff like that. And so what she had is she had this idea that we could sell teething necklaces. And so what it is, it's a necklace that, you know, has the rope or strand or whatever you call that. I guess I don't know what it's called, but, and then you have the silicone beads on it that are soft. And so it's something that it like, it's a necklace that looks nice, but then the baby can chew on it. And it's like this cool thing. And so Amy was doing some research and found that, hey, we could sell this on Amazon. And it's, you know, a very popular product, but there's not a ton of them yet. And so this could be a really good one to get started with. And so we went down that path. And one of the first things that we did is we had this, you know, course that we went through, and we had this spreadsheet that we filled out that helped us to see how we could get this all to work. Because essentially what we were being taught is that you could go create this product, get it sourced, and do all of that. But then you'd sell it on Amazon, and what you'd do is ship it to Amazon. And then there's, it's called FBA, fulfilled by Amazon. And so what they do is they'll actually ship everything out for you. And so you can basically just focus on, you know, other parts of the business. You bring that to Amazon and do that. And so what we did is fill out the spreadsheet. We figured what was the cost that, you know, these were selling for. It looked like for the most part, $15 was like what we were going to charge for ours. And so we put that in the spreadsheet, and then we had to go through and add up all the other costs. So there was, you know, the cost for the actual inventory. So what is the bag cost? What is the actual, you know, necklace cost? And then how much does it cost to get shipped there? And then we also looked at what is like, you know, the packaging and all that type of stuff. And so we essentially had, this is what we expect to sell it for. This is the cost that we know will occur every time. And then that would be our profit if a sale just went organically, if, you know, someone just found it on Amazon. But especially if it's a new product, you can't necessarily expect everyone to just come to your thing, right? Like that's one of the I mean, and on Amazon, there is a ton of traffic. So sometimes that can happen. But we knew that we'd probably have to be spending on ads. And so I think what it came down to is about $15 for, you know, what we'd sell it for. And then the actual fixed costs would be about $7. I think that's what it was, with the shipping and everything like that. And so we figured that we had $8 to spend on advertising, right? $8 so that we could go through and make sure that we could continue to get traffic. And so, you know, if you look at this, this is like what I'm going to share with you today is essentially the lifetime value of whatever product or service you have, and you need to make sure that that lifetime value is greater than the cost, you know, to acquire that. So the customer acquisition cost. And so in this case, if you look at it, okay, it's $15 minus $7. So that basically means we have $8 to work with in order to, you know, make a sale. And so, you know, your business or whatever you're doing may be a little bit different, but that's really what we were looking at here. And so now we knew that we could spend money on ads, and if we're doing under $8 for a sale, then that would make sense and we could continue to do that. And so we tried out different keywords and some of them were great, others weren't. And so we continued to go through that and we were able to, you know, do a decent job of selling those items and started making new ones and having different variations and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, one of the challenges of having an FBA business or an inventory based business is that you need cash to continue to buy new products and things like that. And so there's definitely, you know, some hiccups there, but it's a very powerful model that many people are using today to do really, really well. But really that idea though of looking at what is the actual value that you're selling and then what is the cost to acquire that. And so this is one reason that there's a lot of people that love like creating a more expensive program first, rather than having a cheaper program. They'd rather create a $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 product. You know, maybe it's some sort of program, some sort of coaching or whatever. And because if you look at that, now I'm looking at, you know, let's say it's a $5,000 sale. So $5,000 sale, now you have a lot of money to work with in order to get that sale. Now you do, maybe you have some costs, maybe you have some coaches or things that you're paying or other things like that, that, you know, are kind of fixed in there. So you have to obviously take that into account. But that's one reason that, you know, some people love, you know, really starting out with high ticket things, because it does allow you to then have more space there. Like you don't have to have, you know, a perfect ad and the perfect targeting and all that type of stuff, that you can do that because that value is a lot higher. And, you know, the cost to acquire some, like a new client or a new sale doesn't have to be, you know, super, super low. And so that's one reason that some recommend doing high ticket. And so that's really this idea is something that, again, I remember hearing before. And again, we used it even with Amazon, but something I hadn't really thought about a lot recently, but it's so important. Like it's such an important thing to be able to look at. And to me, it was just like that eye-opening moment of like, hey, maybe this is the metric that you want to have. Like you have the lifetime value and then the, you know, customer acquisition cost. And so with that, and just, I guess I will say that sometimes that the lifetime value is not necessarily going to be just one sale. Maybe you have a membership and so you're getting paid over time and the average person that someone stays is how long. And so that, you know, adds up. Or maybe you expect to have some follow-up sales based on that first sale, which is, you know, if you're doing low ticket, then that's probably something that you would be wanting to do. And so, you know, just that, that type of idea though, is that, you know, really just calculating out what is that lifetime value. And again, with Amazon, we potentially could have had a higher lifetime value, but especially starting out, we just didn't really know how many repeat buyers there would be and things like that. And so, you know, if we knew that, hey, we run ads and then every person comes back and buys or a percentage of them do, we could certainly have, you know, put that into the model, but then also knowing that that sale, you know, would be coming later down the road. So, you know, and again, with that, with Amazon, there's not, in my opinion, there's not a ton of kind of buyer loyalty because you're buying from all sorts of buyers. So it's not, it's just different than like when you have someone on your own website, which is one of the powers of doing that. And so, but that was really just interesting to me to be able to see that metric and then, you know, recently be reminded of that, and that I've seen that over the last couple of years too. And like, huh, you know, that's what I need to do. I need to really focus on that. And I think that's the metric that I really want to track. But we'll see, you know, maybe there's something else, but that's what I want for you today, is to figure out what is that thing that you can track, right? What is the one thing that you can really focus on that you know is going to lead everything else, right? I mean, obviously, we need to make sales, and that's important, you know, in a business. But what leads to that sale and what are the other things that go in there, and looking at, you know, that metric, because maybe for you, you know, hey, if I have 10 people that join my email list, then I have one person that's interested in, you know, working with me or whatever, or your Facebook group, or, you know, so then you can really look at that and say, hey, this is the thing that I really need to focus on. And as long as I can continue to keep that going, then I know that everything else will work out. And so that, you know, sometimes takes some time to figure out what that is. But I think it's a really powerful, powerful thing to do. And just, again, simplicity makes a huge difference. And so that's what I encourage you to do. You know, if you are, you know, a business owner, or even if, you know, and or an entrepreneur or whatever, that you can look at that and say, okay, what is the one thing that I'm going to be tracking? And maybe you're not an entrepreneur, but what is that one thing that you can focus on right now so that you can know that you'll be successful? You know, if you're trying to lose some weight, maybe it's around, okay, I have to like get on the scale every single day and I need to track what I'm eating, or, you know, I don't know what that is, but having a very specific metric that you can follow makes a big difference. And so again, with weight loss, if that's like your goal is just to lose, you know, a specific, you know, number of pounds or whatever, then you would be able to measure that every day. But maybe there's one other thing that you're actually like knowing is going to help you get to there, right? If you stick to this plan of eating or of exercising, is that the thing that's going to get you there? Then you can focus on that. As long as you're doing that every single day, then you'll know that you're going to make the progress that you want. So I hope that helps, and I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks so much.